This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Somebody else you might have to trade for. Coming up in Let's Find Us a Quarterback at 11 o'clock. I'm Jeff Phelps. Dano is in for Andy today. Meredith's taking your phone calls, 216-474-0092. We're talking about the Four Nations Cup. Is that the official name of it?
Yes.
Is that what they called it? The Four Nations Cup, where for the NHL All-Star break, they had Canada, the United States, Sweden, Finland play a little round-robin tournament, and Canada won the championship game last night. It was a good game. I mean, if you like sports, it was a competitive game played by the best that there might be in the world, or some of them anyway.
Good chunk,
yeah. And it was really good. And afterwards, the man who scored the game winner, Connor McDavid, one of the top players in the world right now, was asked, you know, why do you play it? Anytime we can strap on the uniform and play for the country, that's a big deal and blah, 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 blah. And both sides played like it, the Americans and the Canadians. I mean, they played all out. And we've talked about the NBA All-Star game, and Adam Silver is racking his brain trying to figure out, how can we make this thing more competitive? How can we make the guys care? How can this be, you know, how can we make this work? And this year they went with, you know, the four different games and the young rising stars, which I thought they shouldn't be there. And then they kind of, and this just didn't happen by coincidence, they ended up having Shaquille O'Neal having the older guys who made the All-Star team on his little eight-man team. And then Charles Barkley had the international guys, and Kenny Smith had the younger stars. That was not a coincidence just by, you know, luck of the draft.
No.
That kind of happened.
They were hoping to spur some kind of rivalry.
Exactly. And then the Four Nations happens, and everybody gets pumped up because it's, you know, U.S. against Canada. And we talked about this. Maybe NBA, the United States against the world, gets everybody fired up. And you think, boy, maybe, could that possibly be? And Jeff Thomas today poo-pooed it when we were chatting about it before the show. Hmm. And I think Jeff is right.
Hmm.
And the reason I say that is this. USA against the world doesn't quite get you fired up if you're playing for the world.
Why not?
Unless you hate the American basketball players and want to stuff it up their wazoo. But then it has to be a group effort. And I say it for this reason. It was U.S. against Canada. Connor McDavid and his mates were playing for Canada, the motherland. In the NBA, right now, quick look, two players from Spain. Three from Puerto Rico, which is actually part of the United States, but, you know, Australia, 15 guys. So you could field a team from Australia for the NBA All-Star Weekend. One guy from Austria, two from Brazil. Anderson Varejao is not one of them.
Shucks.
One from the Czech Republic, two from Serbia, one named Luka. 14 from France.
They're so pretty good.
The French guys, they can play. You might be able to put together a team from France.
Get well soon, Victor Wembanyama.
Yeah, oh, that's just bad.
Yeah.
And 25 from Canada. So if you wanted to, you could put together an Australian team and a French team, a Canadian team, and a U.S. team. But that leaves out guys like Luka. You would want him, wouldn't you?
Mm-hmm. That Nikola Jokic guy is pretty darn good, too.
I'd love to see him involved, and he wouldn't be under this situation. And I wonder if the international guys would have the same passion to play together against the U.S. as, say, Canada did playing for their country in the Four Nations.
I think you're right that you need, everybody needs to have a country to play for. I think that really boiled down to a lot of this stuff and the way that these guys were playing and the way that these guys wanted to play is that playing for your country the way that it sounded really meant something. It meant just as much to the Tkachuk brothers as it did to Connor McDavid and to Sidney Crosby and to Marchand and that whole group that was going up in Canada.
So an international group of the NBA, if it was just international, wouldn't be playing for country. They'd be playing against the U.S.
Right.
Which might be inspiration enough for them. You never know.
Spite's a hell of a motivator. I mean, it
except for one thing. What's the spite? Hey, I went to the U.S. and I became a gazillionaire. Thanks.
Not a big fan of fast food chains. You know, these guys are a little arrogant. How come nobody can speak any other language? You know, there's a lot of things. We can point to a lot of things.
You're in Texas. Whataburger's pretty good.
Whataburger is pretty good, I got to admit. But, like,
I would think it's hard for most of those guys to be mad at the country because they came here by choice to play in this league and make a lot of money. Now, they might be mad at American players if they happen to think, and I don't think this is the case, that American players are arrogant about the level of American basketball. I don't think that's the case. I really don't. Because every American player I know loves an international guy if he can play.
Yep.
That's all that matters. Can you play? Great, you're in. That's right. All that matters.
Well, it's a really good point because it's definitely the definition or the difference between what we have watched and what we see in the NBA, what we see in professional soccer and all that kind of stuff, because it's the same general idea. Like, and even these hockey players, I'm 99% sure it really doesn't matter where you're from if you can play.
Yeah.
You know, if you're helping get my team to a Stanley Cup final, if you're helping get my team to an NBA final, it kind of doesn't matter. So the way that you say it out loud like that, yeah, I think you're onto something. That maybe...
Well, it was Jeff's concept. I just took it the next step.
Maybe having... Like, maybe spite isn't the level of motivation that you're looking for there, that you need to have some kind of pride on top of it. And yes, we have pride for our planet, but we haven't really been in a global sports tournament yet to really grow that pride. Once we get to the universal sports tournament, let me tell you, that pride will grow.
The Australians playing for Serbian pride. I don't see that one.
I can't see it either. No. Or world pride, for that matter.
But I kind of get it. I also think it's weird to me, and Meredith mentioned the NHL shutting down, and we've seen it in the past for the Olympics, and then they didn't do it for a while. They're going to do it again. That's a huge economic hit for your league to shut down, but it's for the betterment of your sport.
Right. And to me,
it's an interesting balance.
And Connor McDavid talked about that after to ESPN, had this to say when it came to possibly using this to grow the game to new fans.
Well, I hope they love it. It's a great game. It's a great sport. And I hope we put on a good show these last couple days and gain some fans. You know, ultimately, you can't ask for a better show than that.
And maybe that's worth it. Yeah. And that's audio courtesy of ESPN. Maybe that's what's worth it, is the idea that, like, if we shut this thing down for a week and maybe take a hit for a week, maybe we will have enough people coming back that want to watch these guys when they're playing for Edmonton, when they're playing for Calgary, when they're playing for Boston, when they're playing for Pittsburgh, when they're playing for Columbus. You know, maybe there's enough of that there that you get that goodwill that people want to pay attention to this stuff by merely putting the, and I don't know if it's the best version of the product, but putting that version of the product out there with that level of care and that level of speed and that level of competition. Maybe that's the case. And maybe that's a smart move on their part. Maybe the Olympic idea is the exact same thing. It's like, okay, if we build this together, we can build this. That's the question I have, though, is, and can that translate? Do you think that could translate? Like, that maybe this kind of thing gets a whole bunch of people to want to tune in and pay attention to all of these different teams and that stuff to see some of the guys that they saw play as hard as they did?
Maybe. I honestly think maybe. I would be... I would be more inclined to watch an NHL game after watching that.
Right.
Just because, just a little bit of a follow over.
Yeah.
And I don't follow the NHL.
Nor do I.
And, you know, so when Jake Christensen joins us at 1 o'clock, we already apologize.
Meredith, I'm dumb on this stuff. The speed that we saw last night, is that common in a regular season NHL game, or is that strictly for a playoff Stanley Cup type of thing?
That was much closer to a playoff scenario than it was for regular season. And it's really interesting because the West plays a lot faster than the East does. And that's one of the reasons why I always enjoy watching Western Conference games. And so I think you had a good mix of that in last night's game. But yeah, the entire tournament, even from the very first game, has been so much closer to a playoff atmosphere than like anything else.
Which is really interesting because here you are, you still have a regular season to finish up in the NHL, and these guys are busting a move and picking up the pace a little bit. Well, that's tough. And I wonder what kind of shape these guys are going to be in when they go back to their regular teams.
And they were talking about that on the broadcast. I forget who, you know, whoever was, and they did a great job on the broadcast itself.
Sean McDonough was play-by-play guy.
Right. And they did an awesome job at that. But they were talking about like, yeah, some of these guys have picked up some injuries along the way that are probably going to cause them to miss a couple of games once the season starts up once again. And it's, you know, if you're a fan of that team, are you bummed over that? Or are you just like, hey, you know what? I'm thrilled that this happened. I'm thrilled that I got to watch it. I'm thrilled that I got to be a part of it. And I can live with the idea that maybe my guy misses a couple of games.
Can you see the NBA, though? See, I can't see the NBA shutting down. They shut down for, a week? I can't see them shutting down for 2 weeks or something and having some kind of an international thing and everything else. Because part of the reason, obviously economic, another part, I don't think the NBA has to sell its game as much as the NHL does. Hockey is played in parts of the world. Basketball is played all over the world, everywhere. And people get it, and people follow it everywhere.
That's a really interesting point. I wonder how universal hockey is across the world. I wonder if there is a level of selling that takes place across the world. Or if it's so ingrained. I mean, goodness, you got Sweden, you got Finland, you got Norway, you've got all of those countries in between there in Europe. So it's not like the sport hasn't touched Europe. That's a really interesting point. I wonder. That's a good question to somebody who's more global.
Well, hockey is huge in Europe, but
yeah.
You know, is it as big as basketball in other places? Absolutely.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, heartbreaking, and above all, true.
I myself have been married for 56 years. Unfortunately, to four different women.
It turns out the people I was looking for all my life is what you people would call nerds.
Follow and listen to The Moth on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's a really good point.
Tom's in Berea. Hi, Tom.
All right, Tom.
Good morning, guys.
Morning.
I call to disagree with you. Is that allowed?
Absolutely.
Very much so.
That's why we're here. We're married.
First thing, you're used to it. Okay. First thing I'd like to disagree with you is on the international versus the United States not having any spice for it in the international team. I would only point to golf and
that's
the Ryder Cup. And there's one other international versus the United States competition in golf. And The biggest thing for these pros is to get on that Ryder Cup team. Both the guys from Europe, which represent every country from Scotland to Italy, but they play as a team, and it's a big competition. So I think that international versus the United States would work. And plus, if you break it up into the smaller countries, they're not going to be competitive. They need to come as an international team versus the United States team. That would be a hot game.
Only thing I would say in contradiction to that, golf is an individual game. That's the only time they play it as a team. So it kind of becomes a big deal, unless you're on the LIV and you're playing for like the Jackrabbits or whatever it is they call
it.
There's
a level of two ball and four ball and all that kind of stuff that comes with it. Yeah. I mean, there's team aspects, but there's also individual to it. But
no, but
you're right.
No,
guys,
but
I mean,
the only time they play team in golf is Ryder Cup, President's Cup, that kind of stuff.
They've started doing a couple
and
different.
The other point I'd like to make, guys, is about taking a break and losing money in the middle of the season. No. These guys, they plan out their season, the number of games they're going to have, the amount of money they're going to make off of those games, and they put that break in the middle there. They're not losing a dime. Matter of fact, their TV revenue might go up for that particular game versus other games during the season. So it's all part of the plan. They're not losing any money. And thanks. Have a good show.
All right, Tom. Thank you very much.
Appreciate it, Tom. That's good stuff to think about.
Yeah, I don't know, though. I think... Meredith, in the expanded years, did they cut back on the NHL regular season schedule or not? Any idea when they did the hockey? When they allowed them to play in the Olympics, did they cut back on the regular season?
No, I don't think they did.
Okay. Well, then Tom's right on that, which means you expand the season and run greater risk of injury.
There, yes.
I'm playing completely devil's advocate in a bad way. Carlos, I want to sneak you in. You got 30 seconds,
Smith.
Buddy.
Yeah, I just wanted to make a suggestion as far as getting the players to play for a cause. Maybe, you know, with everything that's going on in the world, something to, like, the winning team or whatever would donate to the fires in California or for cancer, Children's Miracle Network or something like that. And maybe the players would want to play harder for their cause.
Carlos, not a bad idea. I know they play for charity now, and they do a lot of charitable things. Maybe something like that would work. All I know is that the Four Nations worked, and the guys played a terrific championship game. They were, you know, the build-up to it throughout the entire tournament was really good. So congratulations to the hockey world for that, and we're going to talk a little more hockey at 1 o'clock. Jake Christensen of the Columbus Blue Jackets talking about the 2025 Stadium Series.
Just
coming to
a half
Ohio
second.
Stadium.
They built something in the middle of February that was must-watch TV.
Yep. Good time to do it, too.
Good time to do it on top of the fact. Well done by the NHL. Well done by everybody involved. That was fantastic.
Hey, Browns, you want to make a trade? I'm not talking about a defensive end. I'm talking about a quarterback. Let's find us one next on Baskin and Phelps.